Okay, so I'm going to just run back through that again, make sure I got all that. I'm going to just name the counties that are represented here. So I've got Livingston County, I've got Schenectady County, Glendale, I've got Rensselaer County, New York City Health and Hospitals, Monroe County, Genesee County, Cattaraugus, Wyoming, Erie County, Albany, Rockland, Clinton, and that's what I have. Any other counties that I didn't name?
Yes, Wayne County here.
Okay. Very good.
Sullivan County.
Okay. Anyone else? Very good. Well, good morning, everyone. On behalf of Leading Age New York and Hinman Straub, welcome to today's call, which concerns federal financial participation in the Universal Settlement. I'm Dan Heim, Executive Vice President of Leading Age New York. I'm joined here with Darius Kirstein and Jim Klein, and also by Sean Doolin of Hinman Straub, who is our general counsel and one of the two state-designated Universal Settlement trustees. We're recording today's call. For those who can't join, we'll make it available this afternoon to all of the non-state operated public facilities. Since there's several people on this call, we want to make sure everybody can hear everything that's said and to be able to ask questions. We would ask that you please put your phone on mute during the entire call, except for when you're asking a question, and we will pause for questions. Please don't put us on hold, since we'll hear your music and your message, and we'll know who you are. So very much appreciate your indulgence there. So as previously reported to you, the state of New York has officially declared that facility's response to the universal settlement is, in fact, universal, which means that the state is prepared to execute the agreement pending approval from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. In the final stages of discussion with CMS, an issue has arisen in conjunction with county nursing homes. So as part of when CMS reviews proposed adjustments to Medicaid payment rates, the agency requires the state to demonstrate that the resulting Medicaid payments will not exceed the Medicare upper payment limit calculation that applies to each year. And the state looks at three different groups of facilities. The first is state-operated facilities. The second is non-state-operated public facilities, and then all other. So they've done the analysis for those three different groups, and they did it for an extended period of time from 1976 to 2011, which is the approximate period of time when these rate appeals and lawsuits go back to, and actually up through the current year. And in conducting this analysis, CMS believes that for three of the prior years for which the UPL comparison is being made, the upper payment limit for county homes would be exceeded when the settlement payments are factored in. So the years that are at issue apparently are 2009, 2010, and 2011. So DOH is actively discussing this with CMS, and they're trying to minimize the potential fiscal impact of this issue, which could range anywhere from $2 million to $6 million in total, as against the total settlement payments to county facilities, which we estimate are in roughly the $60 million range. So we could be talking about an issue here that is roughly anywhere from 3% to up to roughly 10% of the payments that facilities would receive as part of the settlement. So one of the options that's being seriously considered would be a proposal to make the full settlement payments to the county facilities and then reduce future years' intergovernmental transfer payments by any CMS disallowed amount, so by anywhere from $2 to $6 million in total. So in the short term, what this would necessitate is that each county facility would be executing a revised settlement release that would include language on any federal funding disallowances that relate to UPL calculations. We have been going back and forth with the state on the wording of that revised release form, as well as on the whole issue of exactly how much in UPL payments or UPL amounts is at issue. We're trying to minimize the amount that's at issue here. All things being equal, a settlement payment, a dollar in settlement payment is worth more to a county facility than a dollar in IGT, because settlement payments are funded fully by the federal and state government, whereas an IGT payment would be funded 50% by the county. So that's something mathematical to kind of keep in mind as we think about the impact of this issue. So I'd like to turn it over at this point to Sean Doolin, who can explain and elaborate a bit more and then talk about the release and what that will entail. So, Sean?
Sure. Thank you, Dan. Again, good summary, Dan. You know, I think the years in question are 09, 10, and 11. I think the state, frankly, is still arm wrestling with CMS over 9 and 10. Based on some other reductions in the UPL. So those 2 years remain open. If it includes all 3 years, as Dan said, it's $6 million. If it's just 2011, it would be $2 million. And the preferred approach from the state is to keep the settlement distribution intact. So you would you'd continue to get 100 cents on the dollar, but in turn reduce the upper payment limits downward by whatever the amount is, $2 or $6 million, over the course of 3 years, 2015, 16, and 17. This is literally the last and only issue left with respect to CMS and likewise with respect to the state. They've declared universality, as Dan had indicated. They the only thing standing in the way was CMS approval. If we can manage our way through re-executing releases with new language, which I'll explain in a moment, then we all that we have in front of us really is the payment process, which is complicated in some instances, but that could certainly begin, you know, any time over the next, 2 to 4 weeks. In terms of the legal issue, because the upper payment limit would be revised downward, the state is asking us to re-execute releases, which in essence would preclude the county home from challenging that specific downward adjustment to the UPL. We've gone back and forth over the last few days with the state on the exact language. Just this morning, they accepted our most recent revisions, and we will circulate that out to the entire group as early as this morning, hopefully. And that'll probably come from Leading Age, either or Dan or Darius. Essence, it's one revision to the release, and it is specific to both county-owned homes as well as hospital-based county-owned homes, and it just purely precludes a challenge to the upper payment limit only with respect to it being adjusted as a result of the universal settlement. Once we can get those re-executed releases back, again, to the extent that you're comfortable re-executing those releases, we'll present them to the state, and hopefully then the next steps of the process in terms of distribution. I think that's really, you know, a summary both in terms of where things stand as well as what needs to be done in terms of next steps. I could certainly open it up to any questions that folks might have now.
This is Frank. I said just one, maybe two questions. The impact distribution, is it to IGT, is it going to be distributed equitably on a per Medicaid day basis across all county nursing homes, or is there some formula that looks at the number of appeals each county nursing home has in each of the years 09, 10, and 11, and that drives then the impact that each county would experience?
I think it's the former. I don't think they're going to be going back and through each individual appeal that the county has. There may be some adjustment based on, you know, the amount that the facility is receiving in universal settlement dollars, but that's a discussion we still have not yet had with the department.
And how does it work for county facilities that were in the business in 2009, 10, and 11 and are out of the business? Their portion gets split among the remaining counties because they're no longer going to get the IG. They may get some one or two IGTs, but some counties may not be getting any IGT that were in business in 10, 9, 10, and 11.
And so I guess one question that we – and actually that's a good question that we've thrown back at the department. I think the department was assuming that former owner was getting 100 cents on the dollar in universal settlement distributions. If, in fact, that's not the case, there might not necessarily be an upper payment limit issue with respect to that county, and I'm waiting to hear back from the department on that.
Hmm. And would the question, this is Ed Markey from Glendale, would the 9 and 10 question be resolved before the re-execution settlement agreements come out, or would we be signing these still with the question of whether it's 1 year or 2 year, whether it's $2 million or $6 million. Would all those issues be resolved at the same time and when we sign these, or these are just going to be going ongoing even after we sign?
We were hoping to get resolution on the three versus 1 year issue by this call. The state has not gotten final word back from CMS on that. I think obviously we're going to be sending out the re-executed releases today. I think you can assume that it's the worst-case scenario of 3 years. The hope is that CMS reconsiders their position, but, I'm not involved in those discussions, but at this stage, I wouldn't put a lot of stake in it.
So we would just sort of reduce what we were sort of visioning as our IGT by about 10%, worst-case scenario, for planning purposes? Is that what you're saying?
And is that right?
Well, let me talk a little about the fiscal impact here. So, again, what we're comparing is roughly over the course of the universal settlement, a total payment to the county homes of about $60 million. So that's a net amount. In other words, those are all dollars coming from the state of New York and from the federal government. On the flip side here, with the UPL issue that has come up, we're talking about having potentially breached the upper payment limit by anywhere between $2 and $6 million. Now, bear in mind that the way a IGT payment gets funded is 50% from the county DSS and the other 50% is from the feds. So if you want to look at this in terms of a net impact, the net impact is really 50% on the IGT side because the county is putting up the other half. And if you put this on to an annual basis, so now we're talking between $1 and $3 million net over a 3 year period. That's going to mean in total for the participating county homes, and we do think it's the ones who are still in business at this point forward. It would be a total of $333,000 to $1 million per year for each of those 3 years that would no longer be possible under IGT. So that $333 to $1 million per year would then be spread across the county homes that are participating in IGT, and we believe would be based and allocated on Medicaid days. So without knowing what the relevant UPLs are, that the state is still kind of wrestling with CMS on the IGT payments, for I believe it's 14 and moving forward. Without knowing that, it's hard to know what percentage of the total IGTs we'd be talking about here. But it seems like it's going to be a pretty small percentage, judging by the numbers.
But does anybody have offhand, off the top of their head, the actual Medicaid days, total Medicaid days for the non-state operated for those years? Is that correct?
We could calculate that. Well, we can calculate what we have as the latest reported Medicaid days for the county-run facilities.
Okay.
So, I mean, what we'll do is when we send the releases out, if there's any way that we can provide any further insight on, you know, what we think the impact could be, we'll, you know, we'll certainly try to elaborate on that for you.
Yeah, just for my purposes, just to sort of understand what the Medicaid days for that particular group, the non-state operators, looked like in 2009, 2010, and 2011, and what it looked like now in the years that we're going to be actually spreading this out. Obviously, it's going to be less.
Well, it's going to be less, and bear in mind that the days are going to be a moving target anyway, because as inpatients in nursing homes transition from fee-for-service to Medicaid managed care, it's our belief that the total number of days and opportunities under IGT is going to progressively decrease, over the next few years. So just bear in mind that these numbers are a moving target.
They are.
Okay. But again, if you think about this in the context of the money coming out of the settlement, you know, then what on a net basis we're really talking about as much as $3 million versus 60. So that's why.
Yep.
So it's in the worst case scenario, it's tantamount to a 5% reduction in the amount you'd be getting from the universal settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, and it's going to vary based on county's settlement amount. But that just give you kind of a rough estimate.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah, are their attorney fees going to decrease with all this?
John, you want to take that one?
I think, frankly, that depends on the relationship between and the arrangement between as a plaintiff in a particular lawsuit and the specific litigation counsel representing you in that litigation. Most of the distribution, as I think you know, is not related to specific litigation. It's more either the statewide pricing smoothing bucket one, as they call it, or a minimum payment category, in which case there's no counsel fee.
I'm Sean.
Yeah.
This is Joe Willie.
Hi, Joe.
Do you know whether there's been any discussion between the state and CMS about if these are 2009, 10, and 11, I believe those are years for which the state gets enhanced FMAP. These are, they're called ARA years, where the state's FMAP is up to around 60% or so instead of the usual 50%. And so I just wonder if the state is going to be sort of benefiting from the enhanced FMAP for these payments. Perhaps that should be shared, that extra money should be used to offset the impact of this on the county nurses.
Yeah, I know that we brought that to the attention to the state, as well as some other reductions, particularly in the years 2009 and 10. And we armed the state with that ammunition, and they were taking it back to CMS. So I am assuming that they did, in fact, bring that up with CMS, and at least thus far have not succeeded.
I don't know that it's so much an issue between CMS and the state as between the state and the county nursing home. I think CMS will pay the applicable FMAP because of the years that issue, And it's just a question, I think, of whether the state should share the benefit of that with the county nursing home so as to offset this impact. But we can, you know, we can think about that. I don't think it necessarily factors into the discussions between the state and CMS.
Okay.
Jeff Vandekar, Cattaraugus County. If the if and when this is resolved and CMS approves, I guess, the upper payment limit and such, is it fair to believe that the 2015 calendar year IGT payment will be released as well?
This is Dan Heim. We have been kind of back and forth with the Department of Health on the IGT payments that are pending, and the UPL calculation is at issue in those payments. And incidentally, the UPL issue is a lot bigger one because, as you probably know, we're waiting on several other things from CMS related to the BAP program, related to the 1% add-on in the rates that will compensate you for the 0.8% assessment that you've been paying all along, and various other matters. And those are all kind of hung up on UPL. So I think maybe to the degree that CMS won't be having to work on universal settlement, maybe then that'll give them a little more time and energy to devote to clearing up the remaining issues related to the UPL for IGT purposes. And that's our hope, and we continue to go back and forth with DOH on that. They know we're interested. We've actually gone to Senator Schumer's office to try to get... So we're going to keep hammering away on that, and we hope this will help to clear the way for that. But it's not as if by approving universal settlement that we're going to automatically handle that other issue. It's kind of a separate issue.
From the accounting standpoint, we're trying to close out 2015, and you know, with the recognizing revenues, you know, are we going to expect to see it in the next couple of months, or may it be a year, or any idea?
We've made that point as well, that whether it's universal settlement or all the other things that are hung up on UPL, that facilities are trying to book their revenues, and that this is, you know, very important from a timing standpoint. I don't think it's going to be a year. It's hard to prognosticate how long CMS will take. All we can keep doing is trying to hammer away at DOH, and we'll keep going back to Schumer's office to try to get this moved along. So the minute we have any kind of a word on it, we'll let you know.
That'd be appreciative if you could, if there is anything, maybe send an email out to the counties or whatever of a time frame, because I know when we have our audits, our CPAs are going to question the fact whether we should be accruing that revenue or not.
Right, understood. Any other questions?
This is Linda DeHart. Going back to the issue that Joe Willie raised, can you hear me?
We can now.
Going back to the issue that Joe Willie raised, do we know if these payments are being considered rate adjustments to prior years, or are they being considered rate adjustments in the years that they're actually paid out?
Our understanding is that the prior periods are being used to demonstrate compliance with the upper payment limit. And so it's an accommodation that was worked out between the state and CMS, such that we'd be looking at a 35-year period in time. And that tells you kind of how old some of these rate appeals are, and that it would spread the anticipated payments, you know, over and UPL impacts over a 30-year period. So it would equate to roughly $2 million a year over. Somebody, if you could just mute your line, for purposes of claiming, because that will dictate what FMAP the federal government will pay at. We have no reason to believe, based on what we've heard, that the FMAP percentage will be anything different than 50%, because these payments are not technically, although they're from a UPL perspective, they're going back in time. These payments are being made currently and prospectively, so we believe they would be subject to whatever FMAP is in place at the time of the payment, and in this case, it's 50%. If we get any different indication from that, and we'd be happy to ask that question, we'll certainly let you know.
This is Dennis from WinCon. Has there been any talks of the future of the IGT with all this going on?
Well, there have been some preliminary conversations. I don't know that there's been any talk that suggests that there's an alternative method, you know, that's been developed. We know that that because of this nursing home transition, that over the course of the next few years, we're going to see the vast majority of the permanently placed population in county homes. We're going to see them enrolling in MLTC and mainstream. And I don't know that we haven't found another circumstance where another state has kind of gone through this process and has figured out a way to keep the IGT program running the way it was running under fee-for-service. And that's not to say that there isn't some alternative approach. That is something that we, you know, will need to look into further. So I don't know that I have a good answer for you as to whether or not the state acknowledges this is an issue. I don't know that they have a solution at this point.
We haven't really received a lot of info on the quality pool.
Well, the quality pool is another matter, and what's happened there is that a group of facilities from Central and Western New York filed a lawsuit against the state challenging the regulatory basis or lack thereof for the quality pool. And as a result, the payments that were to have been made for previous years have been delayed pending some settlement or outcome from that litigation.
Okay.
Are there any other
Thank
questions?
You.
Sure.
Dan, okay, when do you intend to send that email out with that new release?
Right. So I believe, Sean, we've gotten the forms of release, so I think they'll be going out, if not later this morning, early this afternoon.
Right.
And we'll try to provide you with any better sense we can of the potential fiscal impact. And, of course, as soon as we hear from the state about, you know, exactly what years they believe are at issue with CMS, we'll be sure to let you know.
Thank you very
any
much.
Any last-minute questions?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you
Thanks
all for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll keep you posted.